Hello, Galaxy. I just waved, even though you can't see me. I kind of got to get over doing that, although I'm not exactly alone, virtually. I am simulcasting today's podcast like I did yesterday on twitch.tv/chrisperillo, and I'm doing that if only to have some dynamic interactivity. The Twitch video is not going to stay around after I'm done broadcasting live, but we do have people in the Twitch chat, both subs and non-subs, and those who do sub to me on Twitch also get access to our Discord chat room 24/7. You can also get access to the Discord chat room access to Discord if you become a patron, if you head over to patreon.com/chrisperillo. So many ways of joining the Discord chat. I'm choosing to do it this way because, quite honestly, we just kind of got the whole Chris Perillo podcast rebooted. And part of the prospect is that you can call in to the podcast and be a part of the podcast in voice. You've got to use the Anchor app on iOS or Android. It's free. Anchor.fm. You know, Anchor, like a ship's anchor. And then you can press the call-in button and then call in. It's actually a really neat application for interactivity with your favorite podcasts. I've been waiting for it since forever. It's making the podcast possible. So if you want to know what I'm using Anchor as the host. It's amazing. It's easy. And in terms of the microphone I'm using today, it's quite simply the iPhone 8 Plus built-in microphone. In the future, I may use other microphones. I couldn't even tell you what the agenda is when I do these podcasts right now. I don't know how long they're going to be or what I'm going to aim for. I usually have no time or no problem filling time. So that shouldn't be an issue. I have a few things that I do want to talk about. Today, as of the recording, is the six-year anniversary of Steve Jobs' death. And I just spent about 15 minutes or so recording the YouTube video on that topic, talking about how I feel and, you know, where we are in relation to that moment in time. And the video that I did on Steve Jobs will be public on youtube.com/chrisperillo. I haven't yet broadcast the live TLDR on youtube.com/lockernome, but I'm sure the topic will come up there as well. I mentioned that I'm recording the podcast on this particular system because someone did ask, I believe a priest on Twitter asked what I was using. I believe in simplicity. But I think what would be interesting is not just using this particular device all the time, but if I could use the Anchor app on an Android device, which I would likely do, maybe, you know, when I get another Android device set up, I'll use its microphone, assuming it's not horrible, and then tell you I'm broadcasting or I'm recording audio on the microphone in, let's just say, for argument's sake, the phone I unboxed today with Dez over at T-Mobile, the LG V30. I have in my hands something that not everybody has yet. So my hope is to unbox it in a video, do some initial impressions, potentially in a separate video, because that may be a little long, and I don't know how long setup's going to be. The V30, though, is pretty good. I mean, last LG experience I had, and I only had limited time with it today, it was solid. I still have my LG G4. Is that the one with the leather back that I kind of have to get rid of because it's not vegan? I have been looking for this, if only because it has, I mean, allegedly, amazing audio. It does have a headphone jack, not that that's a selling point for me, but it's got an onboard DAC, and that's what a lot of people are just fawning over, but specifically Cine Effects, that's the name of the tweak or the addition they make in software, specifically the video component, and it also records video in HDR. So I'm hoping that this weekend, and I don't know when, getting to BrickCon, it's happening here in Seattle, very much looking forward to that, and trying to record a video using the LG software and doing it in HDR. Whether or not YouTube accepts it, I don't know. That's the thing, is I'd hesitate to go through all the work like I did with the 4K video. I recorded the 4K video, 60 frames per second, and like I labored over it, exported it properly, uploaded it to YouTube, and YouTube said, I don't know what to do with this. Like, really? Like, I gave you a video that you were obviously able to play, but it capped my 60 frames per second 4K video at 30 frames per second. Maybe at some point in the future, YouTube will catch up, and the 4K video that I did for you this past week will actually bump itself up to 60 frames per second. In the Twitch chat room right now, Mike Tristan, who just became a sub of mine on Twitch for free, by the way. If you have Amazon Prime, you can connect your Amazon Prime account to your Twitch account and become a sub of mine for free to get access to the Discord chat. He says, I saw the unboxing on Twitter. It was hilarious. Well, Dez is lucky I didn't throw something else at him, because he was talking about, pre-order and pre-sale? And I should have responded, but do you know Pre Vizsla? I was wearing a Star Wars shirt, and I was wearing my Star Wars cap and my Star Wars Crocs. I don't have Star Wars underwear, though. I you know, don't want to go too far with that. I do still have my Boba Fett underoos, however. That was fun. I mean, in terms of the unboxing I did. I think that video is still out there, too. It may have just been for patrons, like, years ago. I don't know if that ever went public. You consider yourself lucky. Don't go digging for it. You will inevitably be disappointed. The Tennessee Stud, another sub of mine on Twitch, says, hey Chris, I saw today that the Pixel 2 doesn't have HDR. Does that bother you or no big deal? In terms of a display, nah, I don't know if that's a big deal. It's not a deal breaker for me. Let me put it this way. I'm still, kind of on the fence in terms of 4K outright. In the video I did, again, the same one, that's talking about 4K video, is it worth it? I alluded to this. I don't know if that's a, must-have or just a nice-to-have. So, to me, the only experience is effectively in software outright, in something that's tangible, year-round, all the time, like the general experience. Eventually, if my library grows, and I don't think it will, or, a lot of the movies that I have, they're available in HDR, high quality, and all that, then maybe I'd be interested. I did, however, bump up a Netflix subscription because they raised their prices recently, but in order to view 4K HD content, you have to pay more. So I'm even thinking about, lowering that subscription within a month's time. Because, am I going to get the $2 extra? It's high-quality video, but I kind of see a difference, but I really don't. Is it worth it? I don't know. To save a couple bucks, $10 a year or whatever, I think I'll sacrifice myself right now. I will wait, however, until after the next season of Stranger Things. That's the one I'm looking forward to. I think that is available in 4K and HDR. And then after that, I'll probably just, lower it back down to the regular price. But if you didn't know it, they're basically jacking up their rates. Now, speaking of Stranger Things, I'm glad I reminded myself of that. I'm glad I said that because there is an app you can get on iOS, at least, and I think on Android. Let's see if I can turn this up. I don't know if you can hear it, but I'm playing a classic 8-bit style, like an NES style game, Stranger Things. It's free, no in-app purchases, no annoyances. I can't seem to find Hawkins anywhere. That's Hopper. Okay, so Hopper is going to leave. He's going to go outside. I still have work to do here. Ah, so it's indicating I've got to find something else. What if we do? It's locked. I need a key card to open it. Is that the key card? Oh, wait. Is that the key card? So I'm playing the game, and I realize I'm playing this on Twitch without showing people the screen, which is probably annoying, but you can download it for yourself. Anyway, the Stranger Things game is now available on iOS, at least. And I think they also released it for free on Android, but it looked pretty cool. It looked pretty awesome. And so I'm going to be playing that for a little while. We'll see if Jedi, gets the hang of it. That's the kind of game I'd play. A new game that is, very, very much done in the retro style. And speaking of, retro, I got this other device today called a Tiny Arcade. I can't show you, obviously, because I'm talking through it, but I'll showcase it in TLDR. You've got to see this. It's a mini arcade machine. It's a little cabinet. It's this tiny little cabinet. And they sent the Ms. Pac-Man to me, but they have other ones. It is so awesome. Like, you want this in your stocking, awesome. This is like a perfect gift for somebody. Anybody. Especially if you're a child of the 80s like me. You grew up playing classic video games, retro video games. So I'm not going to play it right now, but it basically fits in the palm of your hand, and you can play with this little nub stick. It's not exactly a joystick. It is a stick. I can't say it brought me a lot of joy, and then there are a couple of buttons there, too. It's really nifty. Wait, you got to tune into DLDR. You have to. Now you have to. There's no question. You have to. SkyCop70 says, been an Apple user since the company's inception, but after Google's announcements yesterday, I think I'm making the switch. Like you said, since Steve Jobs died, Apple has lost its luster and appeal. Hard to, for a 60-year-old guy to change, but that's what I'm doing. And, you know, I may not be 60. I'm catching up. This is kind of what I was speaking about in the Steve Jobs video. I was trying to send a message. I don't want to ruin it for everybody. I would prefer that you watch that video. I'd hate to repeat the content. But I think it's very telling, and I think it's something that I've been wanting to say, and I've got to thank Corey Moore, who's also a patron. He posted a tweet link in Discord earlier, and I checked it out. I'm like, wow, you just totally changed the course of what I was going to do today. Because one, I've been so busy today with the LG V30 unboxing and you know, other things that I missed it. I missed that today was the 6-year anniversary of his death. And originally tonight, what I was going to do after Des dropped off the V30, I had a change of heart. I was going to do the unboxing as a video and then an initial impressions. Now I'm going to wait. So tomorrow is going to be the unboxing of the V30 and then initial impressions maybe Saturday. I wanted to say this. I'm also working on what one of you in Discord, or I'm sorry, in Twitch chat, and again, a sub suggested things that Google could do to beat Apple. I've already outlined at least 4 of the 5 points, shared those earlier in Discord. Endon Payne asks, did you pick up the SNES Classic? I did not. I'm not going to wait in line. I'm not going to pay over the fees. If I find it at a store shelf eventually, then I would probably consider it not an impulse buy, but I will grab it, if only because Diana's console growing up was an SNES. I never played it, you know, beyond Super Star Wars, I think, back in college. Never played it, or certainly not as much as Diana did. But I believe that, you know, it would be worth getting. But I'm not going to bend over backwards for it outright. That's not in my my interest, or it's not meeting my interest levels. I wouldn't chase it down. Now, mind you, you're talking to the same guy who drove all over town to find a Spirit of Obi-Wan Kenobi figure, the 6-inch Black Series figure, blue box, Walgreens exclusive. I got him. We opened him, one of them. The other one's going to stay in the box. Jedi likes it, because it's got this nice little shiny little robe, and he's glowing like a ghost. So if she's ever afraid of ghosts, I'm like, don't worry, you know, Obi-Wan's a ghost too. He'll protect you. It'll be okay. It'll be fine. SkyCop70 asks, but I'm going to wait, or he continues, I'm going to wait for your reviews and the new Google products you ordered. Let me go ahead and give you this point's going to come up again in another video for youtube.com/ChrisPerillo. Let's see here if I can find it. I gotta actually pull up the link. I was watching a lot of Pixel videos and getting frustrated because every one of them kept talking about hardware. I'm like, who cares? And I know everybody else is like, why are you talking about software? Who cares? I'm like, I'm the opposite. Like, I'm the absolute worst techie who ever existed because I do everything differently than everybody else does. So I'm watching these videos and I just noticed something. It's kind of off, and I go back and I rewind and I watch it again. I'm like, yeah, there seems to be kind of a little animation jank in a video that I'm watching, like at a distance. I'm like, all right, well, no big deal. I'm like, maybe it was just me, maybe it was just the phone. So then I go on and then I watch another video, and there it is again, like clearly 23 seconds into the second video. So of course I've mentioned Tony before, T_Murray on Twitter. He effectively works for Google. Specifically, and there's you would have no idea this is what he does. He works on performance with the Pixel specifically. So anything that you know maybe in relation to the Pixel, I'd imagine some of these features are gonna leak down or trickle down. But I he said yesterday, he said, oh hey, it's Pixel 2. And there's not much of a thread. He says at some point he'll talk more about Pixel 2 perf stuff, but not during the launch event. So I took that as an opportunity. I said, hey, like I noticed an animation quirk twice. 23 seconds into the video. Watch how it pops on finish. Intentional? Not smooth. So he, you know, I'm basically telling a guy who's, this is what he does. He believes in pixel perfect performance. And this is a story you'll hear repeat soon. He replied and says, not jank, misaligned status bar fill. I'll file a bug. Also, dang, you're pickier than Dave Burke, the undisputed master of spotting jank. Dave, I believe, is head of engineering. But then I replied and said, I'm either going to become a trusted ally or the worst nightmare. I aim to be the former. So if you want a if you're asking for a recommendation right now, even not having the Pixel in any way, shape, or form, just that tweet response alone would have me effectively suggesting that you should go with the Pixel. Because I actually have a person, and I'm not saying this is his function, but he was actually paying attention. He does pay attention. Who took a serious issue and is now potentially filed, as he said, I trust him, a bug report to fix a problem that at least every Pixel has. Now, would that have been fixed otherwise? Don't know. Couldn't tell you. I can't prove a negative. But once again, from just doing a random tweet, that is now the second time that Google has fixed something that I've talked about. Now I've got definitive proof. Now I've got, some people thought that I was, pulling their leg when I suggested that I improve Google Maps frame per second performance on iOS years ago by a tweet. Now I've got a link saying that, look, I pointed out this visual issue, it gets fixed. So it's going to be better for everyone because I took the time and I noticed, and someone else took the time and noticed and had the ability to fix it. There's no such position at Apple. There's nobody doing anything like that at Apple. You know, they're not without eyes. They can see what's going on, the messiness of iOS. They need to see. They haven't, because it hasn't been fixed since iOS 7. I'm not expecting an overnight change at all. That would take a complete system re-architecture, at least as far as the UI is concerned, and the baby got thrown out with the bathwater with iOS 7. I have very little hope that it's going to return. So, yeah, SkyCop70, I appreciate that. I appreciate your tuning in. You're not the only one who's very interested in what I have to say about the Pixel. Although, I do believe that the V30... it's still in its box here, is very much like the Pixel 2 XL, and I believe constructed by LG, screen and all. So if today was any indication, it didn't feel all that big to me, the LG V30 holding it today. It felt nice. It felt comfortable. I would have been fine with it. I don't think it was any worse or necessarily any better than an iPhone 8 in the hand. In fact, it's got more screen, less bezels, which I suppose, you know, seems to be an issue with some people. I can see the value of it, but you know, it's also going to be interesting over the next few days. I'm going to be hopefully getting an Essential phone. I was interacting with Ben over at 9to5 Google, and he just wrote up how Essential just issued a patch, software patch, specifically for the Essential, which he was using as a daily driver, has been, which is pretty telling. And I was reading, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe he can, you know, if this is what he likes, and asked him a couple questions. And I wondered, I said, well, do you think it'd be worth it to get a review unit? Because I know Essential sales are not doing very well for a lot of different reasons. I mean, the camera quality being one of those things that they got slagged on, which apparently they've improved. We'll see. I don't know how much it's improved. But, you know, I knew it was on my radar because it's, you know, one of those flagship phones that, you know, gets talked about on a regular basis. And I reached out on Twitter. I said, does anybody know if, and I tagged at Essential does review units? And they replied. They say, yeah, DM. I'm like, what? All right. So I'm going to be playing with an Essential. What I'm interested in is how the Essential accommodated their software, their hardware inclusion, right? This is this would probably be like the nipple there at the top of the screen. Outright, it's a bit jarring, but how did they accommodate it in software? That's what I'm curious about, not the hardware. I'm curious, more in terms of its software. the performance, the visuals of how the software effectively accommodates the hardware. So my understanding is that it does a very good job, especially in landscape mode. You know, if it melts away, that's the problem solved. I'm good. Just let it melt away, and I'm fine. I feel that there are a lot of options out there, and the market space is definitely crowded. It'll be interesting to see how the Pixel continues to evolve. If it continues to evolve, I hope it does. I think Osterloh needs a little more runway. He's a year into it, but he's got my confidence, given the recent presentation. Who are going to be the players? What are they going to do? What's the big value add? And to me, I think it's you got to look past the hardware. I'm with Rick on this one. It's the software. It's the implementation. And then, of course, it's the entire ecosystem. And Google has a chance to do something that I don't think any other company is in a position to do. Not even Samsung. And I know Samsung gets a lot of that attention. If there's any phone that I've seen a lot of people talk about recently, it's specifically the Note 8. That's it. Like, and then maybe a Samsung, the S8 or the S8 Plus? I can't remember which ones. I get lost with all these names and numbers. But yeah, the Note 8 is the number one thing that I see talked about in terms of comments recently, at least. So I'm believing that I'm that much closer to getting a Note 8 review unit, potentially from Samsung. Not that this is the way that I prefer to do it, because I'm very grateful. I'm grateful that Essential is going to send one. I'm grateful that I'll be getting something potentially from Samsung. I'm very grateful that T-Mobile has offered me the review unit of the V30, because these are three devices that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And until I can find an overarching sponsor to cover those costs, I gotta do what I can do to be able to give you the things that you want to get from me. I'm not mincing words. I'll be very clear. I'll be very honest. I know a lot of people are going to pay attention to the hardware and the certain features, but to me, it's all about that software. How clean does it look? How well does it run? Where do I find issues? What could work better? I'm going to be critical, if only because I don't see anybody else doing that. Yeah, it was maddening. Just reading all these, watching all these reviews, these hands-on from yesterday's Google event, which I was watching and I was reading as much as I could to hopefully to hear or see something new. And the thing was, they might as well have been the same person from the same source. They all sounded the same. Every one of them. Nobody had anything unique to offer at all. They just sounded the same. That's all techies do. They sound the same. That's their job.
We must sound like everybody else.
Not me. Certainly not my voice. I can tell you that much right now. Speaking of voice, for some reason, I'm getting notifications because I turned up the volume on the Stranger Things game. So you at least know that I'm not playing it, but let me go ahead and mute the notifications again. Chat on Twitch seems to be frozen or stuck. I don't know why, but Discord chat is working just fine still. I know I've got a few people who are watching. And so if you want to ask a question or keep that commentary going, that'd be the best way to do it, specifically in Discord for subs or for patrons. You know, I have been watching my feeds closely for a lot of different reasons, and I wish Google the best. I know it's got a lot of attention, specifically from nerds and geeks, but I don't think they're going to move the ball forward as much as they think they're going to move the ball forward. You've got not just limited availability, but exclusive partnerships set up in and around the Pixel. I think that's going to stunt its engagement. Big time. Couldn't tell you the details around that arrangement because I don't know. I'm not in the know. You know, I'd imagine they did it for one reason. Whether it was a good reason, couldn't tell you. But I don't think any amount of advertising is going to shift people to paying attention to what Google's doing with hardware and their devices. I mean, with software. I've got a few ideas on that. I plan on potentially this weekend. Basically doing the five things Google can do to beat Apple. That's you know, something that I again will loop back with you on. I have a very odd schedule. There's no rhyme or reason to it sometimes, and that's why you can't predict when I might go live or might record the podcast or might even publish the podcast. And I guess maybe eventually I'll work my way into a routine. I do know that I'll be publishing the podcast first in Anchor, so if you're really antsy for listening to me, you'd want to check Anchor first and foremost, primarily. It's actually a pretty cool service to loop back on that. If you ever thought about starting your own podcast, it couldn't have been any easier. It was not difficult at all. The hardest part about doing a podcast is, you know, having a topic and, of course, finding an audience and then keeping up engagement, you know, connecting with community and so on and so forth. It doesn't always work well, though. Not always. It's a process. And I try to remove the process out of processes. And to me, that's where software can be a solution. Do I need podcasting hardware? No, I just need better software. Like, insanely better software. Give me good software. Although, to be honest, I haven't really found a lot of software that I want to use on a regular basis, but I'm okay with that because it allows me to be a lot more fluid between platforms, which I find myself increasingly needing to be. Microsoft, of course, wanted to be in the news. No, they didn't want to be in the news. But they released a launcher, at least in beta. Came out of one of their garage labs setups, or, you know, where they're just testing, they're fiddling around. But effectively, Microsoft has got a launcher you will eventually be able to install if you live in Microsoft's camp. So if you use Microsoft's products and services, I assume you have a PC, you may actually be interested in trying that launcher on Android. It may actually work better as a phone for you than iOS, potentially. It certainly would be fascinating to see a Microsoft-branded, I know they've kind of done it. Like, you can buy a phone with Microsoft stuff on it by default. But I think it would be really fascinating to see Microsoft approach Android. It'd be weird. It really would be weird. But, just imagine this scenario. You go into a Microsoft store, and you see a Surface PC. You know, oh, that's a pretty cool Surface PC. But, you know, I've got this iPhone, I don't know. Like, well, this Surface PC comes, if you buy the Surface PC right now, you can get our X Android device the X phone, or they can call it whatever they want. But effectively, like a Microsoft stem to stern, the way that OnePlus approached the Android experience with, is it Oxygen OS? If Microsoft took the same approach and effectively gave it as a value add if you bought a Surface, it would be compelling to buy a Surface, certainly, or upgrade to a Surface or one of the Microsoft experiences. Or even if you buy an Xbox, you get a phone. Maybe not for free. Maybe they can't give the hardware away for free. But even if it was one of those Android One experiences, not maybe not a high-end phone, a high-end spec phone, something else, something less than that, less than a flagship. I think it would move a lot of devices. I don't know if it would necessarily be a game changer, but imagine that, a Microsoft Android phone, their own, like full stem to stern, like they tweaked the operating system, platform, design, services, everything. I would be interested in taking a look at that, because right now they're still fiddling around. But I think Android should and could be very interesting for Microsoft in the coming years. So I'm going to go ahead and get moving on with my day. Dinner's about done. I've said about everything I wanted to say, minus a few things that I wanted to save for TLDR live. Again, youtube.com/lockernome. youtube.com/ChrisPerillo will have the other video once it's ready and edited. That'll be kind of my paying respects to Steve Jobs' memory. And of course, a reminder, use the Anchor app if you want to call into the podcast once that feature is fully working for me. There's some audio recording issues on my end, but you should be able to call in. We've got a few call-ins in the queue. They're pretty cool. It's nice to hear your voice and to find out where you're listening from and how you're listening in that. I love that. I love that interactivity. It's one of the things that keeps me going. couldn't do it without you. So I appreciate you paying attention to me in whatever format you so choose. Hopefully you follow me across social. I love you. I appreciate you. And may the Force be with you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.